there is a fear that can deliver us from all other fears. And this, as the scripture says, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And indeed, our Lord Jesus exhorts us to fear God. Simon Peter exhorts us to fear God.
This weekend on the Songtime broadcast, we're talking about fear, two different types of fear, the good fear, the fear of the Lord, and the bad fear, the fear of man, as we look at Psalm 91 with Dr. Sinclair Ferguson. But first, we're privileged to be joined today by a good friend of the ministry, one of the many voices for that one message. Steve Brown will join us to talk about his latest book called Laughter and Lament. It's all a part of our Summer Psalm series. The many voices are coming together for that one message. I'm your host, Adam Miller. You're listening to Songtime Radio. You are in for a treat today. This weekend, we are joined by a good friend of the ministry, Steve Brown. You may be familiar with him and his radio ministry, Key Life Network, but he's also a close friend of the broadcast here and a good friend of our late founder, Dr. John DeBrine. In fact, they served alongside of each other doing ministry here in New England for many years and even serving on Cape Cod together. It's a real privilege to be joined by Steve Brown today to talk about his latest book called Laughter and Lament, The Radical Freedom of Joy and Sorrow. Now, Steve, you are notorious for being a little bit inappropriate at times, but one of the things that is genuinely appropriate is combining both laughter and lament, because the two themes, although they seem contradictory, like oil and water, the truth is they are together. They are fused together as a very central part of the Bible, and they get right to the heart of the gospel.
It really does. You know, the gospel, the word gospel means good news, as you know, and good news is good news, whether you got a prognosis from a doctor to tell you're going to die, whether you got the job you wanted or the girl you wanted to date, or whether you're going through the pain of the loss of somebody you loved, it's still good news. And at the heart of how we define ourselves is the good news. Adam, I'm forgiven. And and no matter what anybody in the world says, if they try to cancel me, and there's hardly anything they could say about me that isn't at least partially true, it doesn't matter. I'm forgiven. I'm loved. I'm acceptable. I'm his. And that's the good news because of the cross. And that's partially the reason there's laughter in the midst of the darkness.
Steve, this is, I think, something that you personally have dedicated your life in ministry to, making sure that people understand the simplicity of the gospel, but also the complexity of it. It comes in two sizes, doesn't it?
It really does. It's a pool where children can play, but it's also a pool where elephants can swim. And I've been doing this for more years, Adam, than you've been alive. And every day I wake up blown away with how much I don't understand, how deep and complicated it is, and how simple it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
When we think about the idea of laughter and lament, I think of the Psalms. I automatically go there, and it's something when we ever study the book of Psalms, we always have to talk about this, because people's impression of the Psalms are all the highlights, all the best ones, and all the ones that you want to memorize. They don't want to spend a lot of time in the ones that deal with some real heartache and real pain.
Oh, they're so authentic. My friend Dan Allender and his friend, and my friend too, Tremper Longman, wrote a book a number of years ago called The Cry of the Soul. And it was a book about the Psalms, in which they said that God has given us permission to authentically express everything we feel. And that includes hatred. There are some Psalms that don't sound Christian at all. There are some psalms that sound like whining. There are some psalms when there is hard stuff. And the psalmist says, what are you doing, Lord? And you are referring to the psalms that are called formally the Psalms of Lament. In other words, God has even given us the words that we can pray and use when it's dark.
Mm-hmm. Mm. You know, every summer I preach to the Psalms, and I always make sure to preach at least one imprecatory psalm during the course of the summer, because we have the laments and we have the songs of praise, but we really don't know how to deal with you mentioned the idea of hate, to hate the things that God actually hates, and sometimes we assume that God just hates what we hate and not the other way around. We have to learn to hate the things that God hates.
And sometimes even the psalmist is aware that his hatred is not a godly thing.
Yeah.
But again, we have a God. We really do. And this book is about that. When I talk about the freedom of laughter and lament, you said that I'm known for being inappropriate, and that's true. But even when I'm inappropriate, it's funny. And God in the scripture has given me the freedom to enjoy the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
He has also given me the freedom to express what I feel. Mm-hmm. I'm an early riser, Adam, and I'm a man of prayer. And even when I say that, it sounds so pious. I hate to say it, but I really am. I get up at 4 in the morning. And if you were to ever come into my study that time of the morning, you wouldn't be sure it was prayer. Sometimes I'm on my face worshiping on the floor. Sometimes I'm yelling at God and telling him if he really loved me, this wouldn't be happening. Sometimes I grade him and tell him what he did wrong and what he did wrong. Right. And sometimes he says, you through? And I go, yeah, and he loves me. That's the freedom that the God of the universe has given us and demonstrated in the book of Psalms and in other places too. And when we all of a sudden are taken away from this rule-making obligation and responsibility to be serious and deep and religious, and we're allowed to be what we were created to be, we can dance without looking at our feet and cry without worrying that somebody is thinking we're a weenie.
We've been talking with Steve Brown. His book is called Laughter and Lament, The Radical Freedom of Joy and Sorrow. A great resource and one that we would love to share with you as our listeners. But Steve, I got to thank you in particular for helping me earn a crown in heaven for having to ask you all these questions and you being inappropriate and and the like. So thank you for that extra crown, but also thank you for your story, your testimony, your witness, and your challenge to the church to understand the true joy of knowing Christ and the one who knows us and is like us and has walked through the sorrows that we experience. So it was always a joy to have you on the broadcast.
Adam, you're a delight and a benediction. Thank you for having me.
We've been talking with Steve Brown about his book called Laughter and Lament. You can find out more information by giving us a call, 508-362-7070, or head over to our website at songtime.com. Today, we're continuing our study in our Summer Psalms series as we look at Psalm 91. In this message from Sinclair Ferguson, we'll talk about two distinct types of fear, the fear of man and the fear of the Lord. But in this psalm, we also have a means for addressing those fears as we are provided with the dwelling place of the Most High. Here is Sinclair Ferguson with a closer look at Psalm 91.
There is good fear and there is bad fear. There is a fear that can deliver us from all other fears. And this, as the scripture says, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is the fear of the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And indeed, our Lord Jesus exhorts us to fear God. Simon Peter exhorts us to fear God. And that is because by God's grace, there is a fear that can be instilled in us, that is the loving, reverent awe and admiration that a child has for his or her loving, devoted father. The thing that we fear most is that we should lose his smile upon us. And the thing that thrills us most is that sense of awe and wonder that someone so holy, so good, so great, so utterly devoted to us should look upon us in our frailty and love us and shower his grace upon us. And the marvelous thing about this healthy fear is that it acts like a medicine that permeates and gets to the roots of all our other fears and begins to dissipate them. And that's what this psalmist is speaking about here in Psalm 91. What do we learn in the first two verses? We learn, obviously, that there is a provision of security for the Lord's people in his presence. I guess many of us know these words off by heart. He who dwells in the shadow or the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. It's a marvelous picture, isn't it, of God's shadow securing us. He says the person who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide. The psalmist here is speaking about a basic principle that when God by his grace draws us thus to himself, into his very presence, and you understand that's something more than simply us believing the verities of the Christian faith. It's being brought into a sense of his presence. The Lord gives to his people a sense that they are under his shadow, that he will secure them, that he will protect them. And in the maze of life, we need that dwelling place. We need to know the way home. What he now goes on to do in the rest of the psalm is to explain to a novice, to somebody who's perplexed, who feels fear and yet admires the sense of security that the experienced believer has, wants to seek and find the protection of the Lord, because he will give timely deliverance. Verse 3, and he will give strong protection under his wings. You will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler, and you will be delivered from fear. He even goes so far as to say in verses 11 to 13 that one of the things the Lord will do will be send his angels to have a special watch care over his people. But clearly that doesn't mean that we live recklessly. Do you remember how the Lord Jesus, in his wilderness temptations, I thought you knew Psalm 91, so why don't you just leap off the temple? It's promised in God's word he will give his angels charge over you. You'll not dash your foot against a stone. The psalmist isn't saying to us that believers live recklessly, but he is saying to us, as we trust in the Lord, no matter what happens, his sovereign will be accomplished. His timing is perfect, and we may trust him. That's a great way to be delivered from fear, isn't it? Now, what's happened here? It is that by God's grace, God's word is drawing this spiritually inexperienced individual from gazing at himself and his fears to gazing at the Lord and his strength and knowing that he secures his people. And so the psalm ends in the last few words, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. It's as though, I wonder if you ever feel this, sometimes preachers feel this when they're listening to other preachers preaching, especially if we're making a real dog's dinner of it. Some of our friends we know are sitting there and thinking, Ferguson, move over and let me finish this so that people will clearly grasp what we want to say to them. And it's almost as though the Lord does this himself at the end of this psalm. Doesn't he? He steps onto the stage and he says, now I'm about to speak to you. And here's what I want to say to you. The one who holds fast to me in love, I will deliver. The one who knows my name. It's a question, do I know the name of the Lord? I will protect him. When he calls to me, I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. Now notice that's so important. This isn't a promise that will never be trouble and therefore never be the danger that we will be paralyzed by fear. This is the promise that in fact there will be trouble. But in the midst of that trouble, we will be sheltered under the shadow of the Almighty, and we will be guarded by the Most High. And the result of this, it's beautiful in verse 16, isn't it? With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. My minister, when I was a student, used to speak about, he had a phrase that has lived with me for 40, 45 years now. He said, you know, in the Christian life, there is such a thing as learning the art of strategic retreat. But you need to know where to go in order to retreat. You're not sufficient in yourself, and you need to learn the art of strategic retreat into the Lord to deliver you from your fears.
Every year we do a different book of the Psalms for the summer, and you may not even think of the Psalms as being distinctively different books. There are five different books of the Psalms, but we typically see them all as one book because they're right there, even in the center of our book, the Bible, so they're sort of a sum of a whole. But in the old days when they were reading the Psalms, they would read them from scrolls, and they were likely put into five different categories because they were too long to fit into one scroll, so they needed five different scrolls for that. But it doesn't change the fact that each book has a different theme. And book four really has this resounding theme of dwelling place. It starts off in Psalm 90 that the Lord has been our dwelling place for all generations. Psalm 91 talks about how he is our shelter. We dwell in God, the Most High. We abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And Psalm 92 is called a psalm of the Sabbath, and Sabbath is rest. It is dwelling in God. Jesus will pick up this refrain, and he will declare that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, that he is our dwelling place. He calls himself the temple when he describes and says, you will destroy this temple, and 3 days later, I will raise it up. He was talking about himself in that illustration, because he is the temple. He is the tabernacle. He is the dwelling place. He is the Sabbath that we seek. But the theme here is that we can go to him. It's not by our works, it's not by our righteousness, but it's being in Christ that we can find our shelter, our safety, and our security. If you're in a place of danger and trouble and fear and anxiety and anxiousness, all of these things that are surrounding you, and you're like Peter who's about to go down in the waters because you've taken your eyes off of Jesus and you're looking at all of the things surrounding you and the waves that are crashing in on you, let me encourage you right here, right now. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He's your dwelling place. He's your shelter. He is where you abide. He is your Sabbath. And find your comfort in him. And go to the Psalms. Read the Psalms and be reminded of that on a regular basis, a daily basis, as you preach the gospel to yourselves. I hope that this encourages you, and I hope that you'll go back and read Psalm 91 with your own time in your own quiet place and be refreshed by the refrain of how God is our refuge and strength, our fortress. He is whom we can trust. If I've encouraged you today, let us know. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. It's 508-362-7070. You can also head over to our website at songtime.com, or you can look us up on social media. On behalf of everyone here at Songtime, we want to thank you for listening. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller with our theme verse, Psalm 103, 2 through 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.